Our text in this morning is from Book of Genesis, 45. We're going to read the first 11 verses. So Genesis 45. Then Joseph could not resist himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold in Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry for yourself because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years of famine has been in the land, and there is still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing or harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father for Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler through all the land of Egypt. Hurry up and go to my father, and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, and you and your children, your children's children, your flocks, and your herds, and all that you have, that I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty.' So there are still 5 years of famine." Amen. This is the word of God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you because you are the one who is preserving the life on this earth. And Lord, we acknowledge that everything is in your hands and nothing is out of the control of yourself. And even this pandemic which is coming on this earth, Lord, we know that is permitted by you. And we know that you are the one who is calling us to search ourselves, to stop and to think and to re-evaluate our lives. And Lord, please give us that sense to look in ourselves, to look in our lives, and to see where we put you as God in our lives. If you are still the one who is leading our lives, or you are the one who is just visited in the Sundays. And Lord, please help us, empower us, enable us to be a great servant, to be the great ambassadors which you are expecting us to be, to speak in your name, to speak in behalf of your kingdom, on this great kingdom which we are living. And Lord, please make you to shine in our lives, then the people to see your light and your glory. Please search the people around us, Lord, which are living in this town, around the church building, Lord, our neighbors. Please be with them, and Lord, please give them that chance to see this building which is this neighborhood, and to come around and to find the living God, to find that fine pastures, to have the living waters to satisfy their souls. And Lord, we thank you because you spoke to us and you transform our lives, and you are the one who is making a change, a difference in our lives. And for all the rest of our life, we want to serve you, and we want to worship you because you change us and you transform us. And Lord, we are looking with hope for the future. We are looking, Lord, to see that one day we're going to be with you in the heaven. You promised us, Lord, that you are going to prepare a place for us. And Lord, we are looking up to see when you are coming again. Please bless the pastor in his holiday trip, Lord, and the wife, and please be with them as well, and give them a good resting time and refresh for their souls, and recharge their batteries and please give them wisdom and inspiration when they come back to serve us as well, Lord. And please bless us as a fellowship, as brothers and sisters in Christ in this place, as young people, Lord, as children. Please, Lord, be with all, Lord. And we want to know you more, we want to understand you more, and we want to get that revelation which is coming from your side. And please, let us leave any other thoughts aside, Lord, any thoughts which are coming in our minds. And Lord, we want to focus on you. We want to open our minds now to understand your word. And please help us to focus and to understand what you left here written in this book, which is the word which we pressure a lot, and we are getting wisdom and understanding for life to know how to live these lives. And Lord, please bless us all. Amen. In this morning, I stop into the life of Joseph because I saw a couple of things which this man was able to do in his life, things which shape him, things which make him to be the one who became, and these things are working together to shape a better Joseph. And I entitled the message for this morning, Overcoming the Trauma, because we saw in the life of Joseph a couple of things which are happening. When a person is having a traumatic experience, maybe a therapist is going to put a post-traumatic stress disorder on this person because he was having an incident which was causing a lot of trouble inside of him. But looking to Joseph, we can see quite few incidents which are coming in his life, and he is quite influenced by this kind of thoughts and this kind of actions which are coming against him. And we can see that he is experiencing a complex trauma in his life. And I just want to stop to see a couple of things which lead to these incidents and what kind of trauma he is experiencing starting from a young age. So let's see who was Joseph first. Joseph, as I said, he was the son of Jacob. He was a son which was born on his old age, as he is mentioning a couple of times in the book of Genesis. He said, I had this son on the old age, and this is why I'm seeing him with different eyes. We remember Jacob's love story, how he is arriving in Laban's house, running from his brother Esau, and he is finding this refuge in Laban's house. And Laban, he had two daughters. One was Rachel and the other one was Leah. And Leah was the oldest one, and she was sensitive with her eyes. But Rachel, she was a beautiful girl. She was nice in appearance, as the word is describing her. Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance, but Leah, she was delicate with her eyes. So Jacob is arriving in this family, and Laban said, well, you're not serving here for nothing. I give you a wife. If you are staying with me for 7 years, serve here, and you're going to have Rachel. 7 years looks like days for Jacob. He's serving his uncle, and when he is meant to get married in the morning, when he is waking up, he just realized that he was married with Leah and not with Rachel, which was intended to be married. And after that, he is the deceived man, which he deceived his brother Esau. He is deceived now by his uncle. And he said, well, we have a deal. I told you I'm staying here. I'm serving you for 7 years, and I can have Rachel as my wife. And Laban, he said, well, this is our custom in this land. It's the oldest one to marry first, and after the youngest one. So he said, stay another 7 years, and I'm going to have Rachel as well. So he, after 7 years, just have two wives. Was a strange dynamic in this family, because Jacob, he loved Rachel, but he was not loving too much Leah. And there is a verse in chapter 29, if you want to open and to look with me, chapter 29, verse 31. And the Lord saw that. The Lord is observing what's happening in the family between partners. And the Lord is very sensitive, and he is looking to Jacob, he's looking to Leah, he's looking to Rachel. He said, well, this is a perfect couple, they love on each other. But he observed the Lord so that Leah was unloved. And he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So we have a problem here. Straight away from the beginning, Leah was ready and was good to conceive, and she bore a son, and he called his name Reuben, because she said, behold the son, see your son. She was hoping that having a son, her husband will gonna start loving her. In that period, in that culture, to have children was a sign of blessing from the Lord, and having no children was not a sign of blessing. And Rachel is coming, and she is starting shouting at Jacob. Said, give me children. I want to have children. And Jacob said, I'm in the place of God to give you children. God will make you barren. And this is how you have to live. You have to understand it, and you have to accept it. There are things in our lives which we don't like, but we have to accept them as coming from the Lord. So the Lord is revealing himself, and he saw that Leah was unloved. Chapter 30, verse 31. Lord saw that one of the partners was unloved. And it's good to know that the Lord is interested in this kind of little aspects of life. How much I'm loved by my wife, by my partner, by my husband. If I'm loved, if I'm feeling that I'm loved, or he's not feeling that she is loved. It's important to be appreciated by your spouse, in the family, in this relation. So Leah was blessed from this point of view. And we can see that the Lord is working in compensation. You don't have this love, but I'm going to give you something else. I'm going to give you children. So you're going to have children, and you're going to be attached by somebody. You're going to have that attachment which everyone is needed in their hearts. To be attached by someone. And Leah, she has her first son, which I said was Reuben. And she has another son. She has four sons, one after the other. Four boys. And her expectation was, well, now my husband is going to love me more, and he will going to come close to me. Second boy was Simon, which means God heard my affliction. God was listening. God was seeing my affliction. And now I have another son, which was Simeon, the second one. The third one is Levi. The third one is the Levi, the Levites. Remember the book of Leviticus, when the Levites are the one, the priests in Israel. Very important function, very important position. Levi was coming from Leah. He's not coming from Rachel. If you remember, Lord Jesus Christ is not coming from Rachel as well. Even the book of Genesis is taking chapters with Rachel and Jacob and Joseph. But he's not following up that line in the genealogy of the Christ. And you remember, the Christ Jesus is born from Judah. Christ was born from Judah. The Judah who was the one who was ready to fight. He has a fight in his blood, was ready to shed blood, to take over a city through the sword and kill everyone, every male in a city, just because they came against their sister. And Judah was the one of war, the one who was ready to fight. And we remember the lion of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is fighting the fight again, for us and in our places. And he fight with the evil one and he overcome it. But he is the Lamb of God in the same time. The Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God. And we believe that this kind of kindness, character issues are from Mary. Because he is the Lamb of God. He is the one who, even he is powerful, he let himself to die for the sake of all the ones who believe in him. And this is the Lord Jesus. And he is following the genealogy from Leah. That's great how the Lord is working. He's preparing the future. Four children, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, coming from Leah. And they are two very important. All are important. But two, Levi and Judah, they have a great future over the whole scripture because they are involved in the Lord's ministry. But Rachel has still no children. And Jacob is loving Rachel. He's still faithful to Rachel. But she has no children. And in one point, the Lord is, remember Rachel, he said. And when Jacob was 94, Rachel is receiving the first son, which she's calling Joseph. This is Joseph, coming from Rachel, from this nice love story. And Joseph is born in this family. And she is calling him Joseph because she's believing, she's having this hope that the Lord is going to add another one. And she's called him Joseph. The Lord is going to add one more. And after 9 years, Benjamin is born, which 9, 10 years, and he was younger than Joseph. So Joseph was living with mom and dad for the first 9 years of his life. But a tragic event happened when Benjamin is born, and this is the first event of trauma for his life. Because his mother dying, well, after she is delivering this boy, this son, to Jacob, Rachel died. And he is calling this boy Benjamin, which is the son of the righteous one, or the son who is staying on the right side. He's calling not Ben-Noni, as Rachel said, and he's changing his name as the son of the righteous one, because he saw Rachel as the one who was a righteous one. This is the first incident which is affecting Joseph for his life. For a boy, 9 years old, dying your mother is like ending the world, ending the life. There's nothing else to live for. And he is managing quite well because his father, in his wisdom, he knows how to approach Joseph. And sometimes he is privileged too much, this boy, than he's supposed to be. And he is getting different kind of troubles later on. But losing a partner, losing one of the parents, can be a traumatic experience. But as a child, sometimes you might get a stepmother or stepfather who are going to supply that need. Now, we believe Leah was the one who step in for Joseph and for Benjamin and to help Jacob to grow them up. But in the same time, we can see that Jacob is give him different gifts to his son, and he is treating with preferences for Joseph, because Benjamin was still a very young child. We have to expect in one day to bury your partner. We don't know who's going to pass away first, but we have to build up our mind to know that it's natural, it's biological, that in one day, if the Lord is not coming and taking the church up to heaven, we have to bury the partners, one each other. Or more traumatic is to bury a child. But these are part of the life, as we can see in this passage. And This is a very difficult time for Joseph. But I believe it's a difficult time for a partner who is losing her support, her helper as husband and wife, even the person was loved so much and is leaving a big gap in your heart. Here we can see another compensation, which Jacob is doing to compensate the lack of mother, the lack of love and kindness, compensating with different kind of gifts, which men, sometimes they are not very helpful. But for Joseph was completely not helpful for him, because there are many other brothers in this family. And the children of Leah and Zilpah and Bilhah, they start to envy Joseph. And this is the second part, the second trauma which he is experiencing. He is hated by his brothers, and he is bullied by his own family. Because of his tuning, because of his dreams, all his brothers, they start to hate him. And they start to bully him. They start to just laugh on him, on Joseph. And imagine how it is to be when you are just a young person with growing with no mother and having all these kind of things in your life. The Apostle Paul said, because it's up to you, because it's depending by yourself, live peaceful with all people. Bring peace where you are living, and not be a bully, not just take others and laugh by others. To bully somebody is to show and to intimidate that person, to do some form of harm for that person, or to degrade a person which is inferior to you, which is weaker maybe than you, smaller than you, and it's a vulnerable person. The third form of abuse which he is experienced by his brother is when he is finding them in the wilderness, and he is stripped by his clothes, and he is beaten, everybody is coming against him to kill him. Imagine you are far away from your father, you are far away from his protection, you are in the wilderness, and they said, let's kill him, throw his body in one of these pits, and maybe a wild animal going to devour him, and this is the story which you're going to give it to our father. Another trauma in his life, when you see your brothers coming against you to kill you. The fourth one is when Judah is coming with an idea. As I said, Judah is the fourth child of Leah. But Judah is coming with an idea. He said, well, let's not kill him. What benefit are we going to have if we're going to kill our brother? And everybody stops and said, well, let's sell him. That some Ishmaelites, they came and they go down to Egypt and they sold him. They sold him as a slave. And Joseph is becoming a slave into a big kingdom in Egypt. So imagine a slave which have no reputation, which has no rights, which is humiliated by his brothers. And now he is a slave. Who's gonna defend him? Who's gonna bring his status up again? What is his future? A young man without a future, 17 years old, being sold as a slave in Egypt. It's all finished, it's all done. There is no perspective of life for this young boy. But as we can see, and how we observe him, and how he observes his character, we can understand that he is remaining faithful to his God. I believe Jacob was telling him how he was a stranger, how he was living on the field, and how he was traveling to Haran back, and when he was sleeping rough in the field, and when he had dreams in the night, and God was able to protect him. This was his father, and his father's story, I believe, was very useful in this point when he is coming into a crisis. And I believe he remembered the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of his father, the God of Jacob. And he remembered how father is worshiping this God and how father is telling them, the Lord is spoken to me to go back to Bethel. And they go back and move back to Bethel and remember how he meet Esau in the wilderness. And all these events which happen in his life, they build up a big and strong faith in his God. And he knows that God can protect, God can preserve his life, even he is sold as slave in Egypt. And he is going in this faith. He remembered the ladder which his father was dreaming. And he knows that in heaven there is a living God. He knows that in heaven there is a kingdom. And there is a presence of God in heaven. And his father saw this glory, God's glory, which is up there in heaven. And he is standing firm on this belief that God can intervene and God will gonna save him. And God will gonna be the one who will gonna have rescue him. But the fifth trauma which he is experiencing now is just because of his faith. It's amazing to be faithful, to come to church, to be a good Christian, and to get in exchange, not just being slave into a house. Now he is going back down there, and he is going down in the prison because he wants to be holy, because he wants to have no sin. This is what he is saying to Potiphar. That's not fair. That's not right. Because God is the one who is, God Almighty is the one who was protecting me. How can I sin against him? Said this man. So he is experiencing a spiritual crisis. When because of his faith, because of his belief, because of his behavior, because he don't want to go with this lady, with this woman, he is punished. And he is going down in the prison. What worse can you expect? What worse than that can happen? And who is going to take him up from that prison? Where he just said to the people from the prison, it's unjust, it's unright, because I'm here, because I've done nothing wrong. But nobody is listening to him. Joseph is, forget about your God. You are careless, nobody cares for you. Nobody is going to protect you. But even in prison, he showed that he is with the God who starts to reveal himself. Because there people are coming to him with dreams. And we believe that because these people, they knew it, that Joseph is the one who can interpret the dreams. Because they did it before. He did it before for others. They came to him with two different dreams. And Joseph is telling exactly what is going to happen. A person who has the Spirit of God in himself, the one who can see the future, the one who can see the plans of God, how the things are going to finish, how the things are going to happen. This is Joseph, even in the prison. When he is around maybe 20 years old, in the prison, imagine this great, great trial. And this was the sixth one, going to a prison. It's a traumatic event to go and to be arrested and throw into a prison unjustly because you just want to be holy, because you just want to be a good Christian. Let's see how Joseph was able to manage all these crises from his life and how he escaped from them and how he was not building so much resentment or negative thoughts against his family, against his brothers, and how he managed to show that he is the one who is called to be the protector. He is called to be the savior of his family. When we're talking about healing trauma, we can think about three T's. From trauma, we have three T's, which we have to keep in our minds. We need to talk. We need tears, as we can see in this passage from verse 45. And we need time. All these things working together are just instruments which are going to heal the soul, are going to make us to step forward, to leave behind what was bad, what was unhappy, unhelpful. All these experiences which he was having, and they are very serious experiences in the life of a young person. And now he is 30. Joseph is 30 years old when he is coming in the front of Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh has some dreams. It's amazing how the revelation of God is coming and how he is getting back in the position of trust. Just because, as the Pharaoh observing him, he has the spirit of the living God in himself. And no one can be better administrator for this kingdom than you, said Pharaoh, who has the spirits of God. Nobody could interpret the dream. Nobody can tell me what doesn't mean. But you know the future. And you are the one who can be in charge for all over my kingdom. Just my throne is going to be above you. And all the other things are coming in your hands. This young man, we believe he learned a language. He learned to write in the prison. He learned the culture there. So he was into a school of preparation, even the Lord was bringing him very down. But he, now he is lifting up again, because there was three things in his life. And he's talking in the prison about his bad experiences. He's talking with people. So I said there are three T's which we need to keep in our minds when we have something in our hearts which is troubling us. Each we have an experience which was affecting us quite a lot. And we need to heal ourselves. We need to get healing from the Lord. But we need to talk about this experience. We have people said, well, I'm so glad because I could verbalize all these things because they're not on my chest anymore. It was a burden for me to live with all these things happen in my childhood. And now I'm released. I'm happy because I was very scared to speak about these things. I didn't know what to expect. But how soon I will start talking. I just let it go. I just been free from all this burden which I used to carry on for years. So use wireless, this kind of talk. Find somebody who can listen and speak about your thoughts, about your experiences, about your negative thoughts, about the positive thoughts. Whatever is a burden in your heart, release it. Come and speak with others. In 45 verse 2, we can find that he wept aloud. He cried out. Joseph was crying. And I believe because he was crying out and he was crying loud, it was not the first time in his life when he was crying. And this is the way how you are releasing these negative emotions accumulated in your life. Because he knew it that his brothers was just envy on him. They just hate him for his dreams and for what the father was giving to him. And because he was kept at home and he was 17 and not let him go with others to go with the sheep outside. And he knows all these things. And he knows that he is innocent. And he is crying out loud. The Lord Jesus, we found him in the book of Hebrew. When the writer said, with loud cries, with prayers and supplication, he was submitting himself to the Father. If you feel that needed to cry, cry it. We heard people say, please don't cry. That's not very good advice. We can see that the healing is coming by crying, by letting go, cleaning up and purify your soul by by tears. And the last time is the time. The time is healing the wounds as well. And the Lord is the one who is changing the times and the seasons, books of Daniel. The time is the one who is working in our benefit. Joseph was the one who knew it, that time was healing him. And you remember that to Joseph, two sons are born in Egypt. He has two boys. Amazing to see what names he's put into these boys. One is the first son is Manasseh, and the second boy is Ephraim. Manasseh means forgetful. Chapter 41, verse 51. Let me not get it wrong for you. So he said, the firstborn Manasseh, and which is mean forgetful. He was forgetting things. Was ages going, and the time is healing, and he start to forget. And what he is forgetting? For God has made me to forget all my toil, and all my father's all the toils and all my father's house. You start to detach from what was hurtful, painful to you, and you forget things. You forget people. Give forgiveness for the one who was coming against you, and somebody maybe make a mistake to you. Forgive that person. Be forgetful in this day. Be like Joseph, who is healing himself, forgetting his brothers, and not keeping this bitterness in his heart. And the first boy is Manasseh, which is forgetful. I decide to forget. And the second boy is Ephraim, which means fruitfulness, because God was making me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Was the land of affliction, was the time when he was crying to his brothers to take him out of the pit. Was a time of affliction where what he is passing through, but the Lord was empowering him to overcome all these things. God is make you fruitful. God is make you to forgive and to start a new life. And God is the one who was leading him in all these ways. And he said, "Is not you the one who sold me? Is God who sent me in this place? Is the God who is protecting me? Is the God who is protecting you? Is the God who is fulfilling his plan, his promises made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob? And now I'm Joseph, and I'm here in power just to save and to preserve this family, to go the genealogy up to Jesus Christ, because the Savior is promised coming from these people. And the Savior will come and going to save the whole world. This is God, and this is his plans, which he is faithful to his plan, his promises, and he's going to make it as he said. Blessed be the name of the Lord, who has enabled this young person to be healed by his traumatic experiences. And he is the one who is able to heal you as well, to change you, to transform you, and to give you that freedom which you needed from God. Amen. Shall we pray now? Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the way how you preserve the life on this earth until now. And Lord, we are so blessed to know you as a father. We are so blessed to know you that you are part of our lives, and we are part of your kingdom. And we are part of these great promises which you made to Abraham, and they are carried on in us today. And Lord Jesus, you are the Savior. You are the provider. You are the leader who is preserving the life. And Lord, please bless your church and bless us, and bless us on our walkings day by day to be that Christians which you are expecting us to be. And please be with us. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit to be with us all evermore. Amen.